أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم الصلاة والتسليما يلقان بمقام أمير الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين صل اللهم وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحابته الغر الميمين أما بعد جماعة المسلمين السلام عليكم وَرَحْمَتُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ We've been on quite a journey the last 4 weeks. And just stemming from a simple question, who are the Jews? And the reason why I wanted to speak about it in the first place is because of this whole question around the Qadiyya, around the issue of Palestine. And Palestine has always been a thermometer, if you like, the acid test for the condition of this ummah. It is when we have been at our lowest ebb that we have lost the land, al-ard al-muqaddasa, as Allah refers to it in the Holy Quran, the Holy Land, geographically known as Ardu Palestine, the land of Palestine. And at its heart, Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem, Urshalem, Darus Salam, and Masjid Al-Aqsa, the third most sacred masjid in Islam. And yet we see a continuation of the dhulm. We see a continuation, a perpetuation with impunity of the dhulm, of the oppression meted out not just against the Muslims or even the Nasara for that matter, they are also under oppression in Palestine. But as a result, all the wars that have ensued in order to protect the interests of this illegitimate Zionist state. I don't even want to say the name Israel or Israel as people now say it, the anglicized version. Why? Because that is the name of a Nabi of Allah and they have defiled that name. So we went on this journey and I did say last week that alhamdulillah we have now concluded, but the conclusion went over 3 or 5 minutes. And I still believe there are some unanswered questions that I need to answer today before I leave for Makkah tomorrow or Medina first, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So this journey that we have been on, we try to put into perspective who is Bani Israel, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them in the Holy Quran, as Bani Israel, as Al-Yahud, as Al-Asbat, as Hudan, as Al-Ladhina Hadu. We looked at the various names with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to refer to them. And we differentiated between Bani Israel, coming from the Asbat, from the 12 sons of Ya'qub, who is Israel, that's his laqab, that's his nickname. Nabi Ya'qub, the Prophet Jacob, peace be upon him, and his 12 sons, and one of them being Yehuda. And we looked at the history of Bani Israel right from the time of Nabi Ya'qub alayhi salam, going with his sons into the land of Egypt, meeting up with his beloved son Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, the enslavement of Bani Israel by Fir'aun, and then many centuries later, the sending of Nabi Musa to take them out of that bondage alayhi salam, taking them across the Red Sea, into the Sinai Desert, and all the many trials and tribulations that he, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, went through with them. Many of them were disbelievers when they left the land of Egypt. They wanted to see Allah in order to believe. They worshipped the golden calf. They were dissatisfied with the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them. Al-manna wa salwa, the manna and the quail. And so many trials and tribulations until eventually when they got to the border of Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa and Nabi Musa said to them, Ya qawmi dukhulu, Ya qawmi dukhulu Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa Allati katab Allahu lakum. Enter the holy land that has been written for you. وَلَا تَرْتَدُّ عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِكُمْ But don't turn on your heels. Don't break your covenant with Allah. Don't disobey Allah. Don't transgress His boundaries. Don't kill His prophets. فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ Because then you will end up as the losers. So they were denied entering that land for 40 years until eventually Nabi Musa alayhi salam dies and Yusha bin Nun, his right hand, Joshua alayhi salam is then given the task of taking Bani Israel into that land. Then they ask for the appointment of a king, and Talut, Saul, is appointed as king. Saul dies, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam becomes their king. And I refer to it in one of the lectures as the Islamic kingdom. Why? Because Nabiullah Dawood alayhi salam was nothing but a pure Muslim submitting and surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ruling by that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed. Inherited then by his son Sulaiman alayhi salam, who renovated Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa that was built by Nabi Adam 40 years after the Kaaba was built. And then prayed in by Nabi Dawood and renovated by Nabi Sulaiman. And don't get confused between al-Masjid, as we looked in Surah al-Isra last week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as al-Masjid. That they will enter the Masjid like they entered it the first time. Referring to Titus. Well, if you look in history, Masjid al-Aqsa has only been destroyed twice. And Bayt al-Maqdis has only been destroyed twice. And that was Nebuchadnezzar 587 and Titus in the year 70 of the Common Era. 587 BC, BCE before the Common Era, the Babylonian king, and then Titus, the Roman legion who destroyed it in the year 70. So Allah refers to it as al-Masjid. So let's not talk about the temple. Muslims don't pray in temples. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa. Nabi Sulaiman prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa. But don't get confused between the Masjid and the Sarh. قَالَ لَهَا أُدْخُلِ الصَّرْحِ And he said to her, enter the palace. Because remember Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, he had the command of the jinn. And the jinn built a palace out of glass. It was a mu'jiza. It was a miracle given to Nabi Sulaiman that the people of his time might believe in his message, especially in the case of who? Of Bilqis. Malakatu Saba, the queen of Sheba. So don't get confused between As-Sarh, the palace that he built, and Masjid al-Aqsa, that place in which the Muslims of that time, believing in and following Nabi Sulaiman, worshipped in. Then we went further. Nabi Sulaiman passes away. Alayhi salam. The kingdom is divided. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ They were divided, they caused mischief. And 400 odd years later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the first punishment of the first promise. And that was Nebuchadnezzar, who then took the whole community with him of the tribe of Yehuda. That's where the word Jew comes from Judah, from Yehuda. Because the 10 tribes of the north, if you remember, in 722 BCE, was completely taken away by the Neo-Assyrians and sold into slavery. Until this day, no historian, no archaeologist has any idea who those 10 tribes are today. Allahu a'lam mimma la na'lam. But those who remained and those who dominated was the tribe of Yehuda. And that's why this term al-Yahud now, and you'll see in the Quran, Allah speaks about Bani Israel all the time. When he speaks about the Asbat, the children of Ya'qub, When he speaks about them with Nabi Musa, they are always referred to as Bani Israel. But after they were taken into exile, the first great exile that they refer to, which was to Babylon, to Iraq, until the Persians came, and then Cyrus the Great took most of them back and settled them again in the Holy Land. Allah gave them another chance. And he even rebuilt Masjid al-Aqsa, according to the historians, Allahu A'lam. Because he saw himself as the benefactor of these people. But then again, what did they do? They caused mischief on the second time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them Al-Masih ibn Maryam. And they even attempted to kill him. Herod, as it is said, killed Nabi Allah Yahya, John the Baptist. And Herod was made by the Romans when they came there in the year 63. Pompey came and took the land, and they made him the king of the Jews, Herod. So they killed Nabi Yahya, and it is said they killed Nabi Zakaria, and then they attempted to kill Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So in the year 70, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent armies of his. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. And nobody knows the soldiers of Allah except him. Allah will use oppressors to oppress other oppressors. And this is after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had re-established a kingdom for them. After their return from Babylon, during the time of the Seleucid, the Hellenic, the Greek Empire, the Maccabean revolt in the year 167 BCE, they revolted and they kept that so-called dynasty for about 130 years. And then again they caused mischief, and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent armies of his. And again Masjid al-Aqsa was destroyed and Jerusalem was destroyed. And now comes the exile. And this is something I felt it is very important for me to speak about. The exile. And I made a statement last week saying that if Jews just had to practice their orthodox religion, which they call Judaism. Funny enough, if you look right throughout the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, which is the Old Testament, if you look right throughout the Mishnah and the Gemara, which is the oral Torah and its exegesis, its commentary, its tafsir by the rabbis, you won't find the word Judaism once. And that's why from the beginning I've said, because the origin of the religion is Islam, but they left Islam. ذَلِكَ بِأَنُّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. Because they belied the signs of Allah. وَيَقَتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And they killed the prophets of Allah. ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَسَوْا. They disobeyed Allah. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. And they transgressed the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like a new religion. Judaism. Like Confucianism. Taoism. Some ideologies, they just add ism. Communism. Socialism. Referring to the religion of the Jews after they had left Islam, after they had rejected the prophets of Allah, belied the signs of Allah, broken the covenant with Allah, but the origin of their religion still remains Islam. مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Abraham was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian, but he was pure in faith, submitting and surrendering to Allah. And he was not of those who associated partners in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this exile, and again, the statement was, if Jews just had to practice their religion, that they are the Orthodox, Judaic, Rabbinic Judaism. Why do I say Rabbinic Judaism? Because after the destruction of Masjid al-Aqsa the second time by the Romans, and many Jews were killed, and they were completely, almost obliterated from the land of Palestine, except for a few that remained in the Galilee. And the diaspora, the second diaspora, was widespread. They went everywhere. And it is interesting to note that when this exile, when this diaspora, when it took place, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Holy Quran. He speaks about this exile. And it's something that is mentioned in the Old Testament. That's why if they were practicing this orthodox religion of theirs, I guess I wanted to make mention of how did it become orthodox. Because after the destruction of Masjid al-Aqsa for the second time, there were three sects of the Jews. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Essenes. Now the Sadducees, they were very much influenced by Hellenistic culture, by Greek philosophy. And that's why they didn't even believe in the hereafter. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in predestination. And they considered the core of their worship to be temple worship. And that is why, well, that's what they call it, the temple. We call it the masjid. When Masjid al-Aqsa was destroyed, they disappeared. So did the Essene community, which was a monastic community living on the fringes of society. They also disappeared. But the only ones to have remained were the Pharisees. They also were the ones that had rejected Nabi Isa. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the ones that conspired against Isa to have him killed. But as we know, وَمَا قَتَلُوا وَمَا صَلَبُوا. They killed him not, nor did they crucify him. But the Pharisees, they are the ones that remained. And it is from the Pharisees that we get rabbinic Judaism, based on the teachings of the written Torah and the oral Torah, the Mishnah and the Gemara. The written Torah being the five books of Moses in Hebrew. The oral Torah, quite interestingly, is not written in Hebrew, it's written in Aramaic. And even the Gemara, the commentary thereon, is also in Aramaic. And they are the ones that basically survived. And if we look today, they are broken up into three main sects: the Orthodox, being true to the law, keeping the Sabbath, only eating kosher food, separating the sexes, male and female. Both sexes cover their heads for worship. Traditional Saturday morning services at the synagogue. Reform, which is quite a new sect, which emerged sometime in the 19th century. It omits many of the practices and weakens others. Friday night services, and they are not governed so much by the law, but by their ethics and social action. And then you have the conservatives, are more like the Orthodox. They wear modern clothing and try to keep the law to a certain degree. Then you have the Karaites that only follow the Tanakh, not the Talmud. Then you have the Kabbalists who actually practice a form of magic. And it's very controversial within Judaism because many Orthodox rabbis consider it to be completely prohibited. And I find it very interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Holy Quran about where they learned this magic. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ. And they followed that which was recited by the shayateen in the kingdom of Sulaiman. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ. Wasn't Sulaiman that disbelieved? وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. But it was the shayateen that disbelieved. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. Teaching the people magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. And that which was revealed unto the two angels in Babylon, Harut and Marut. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. And they didn't teach anybody anything except that they first said to them, we are a trial, don't disbelieve. They were two angels assigned by Allah. They had the knowledge of the magic, but it was their task to test the believers, or to test those Jews of that time, that we are a trial, don't disbelieve by taking this magic from us. Then you have the Hasidic sect as well, which is a spiritual revival movement. And these are the basic sects that we find today of the Jews, originating from the teaching of the Pharisees, otherwise known as rabbinic Judaism. Right, so that's clear. So when you speak about the Jews today, we are speaking about these people. And largely, they consider themselves being a Jew as being part of a community, part of an ethnicity, part of a race, part of a people. But definitely, there is, and even though they are not the Majority today, the Orthodox rabbinic Judaism that we find in the world today still sticks heavily to the Torah that they have, and we know يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ أَمَّ وَاضِعِهِ. It has been corrupted, things have been taken out, things have been added in, but they stick to that law as best as they can. What I find very interesting is that right throughout this history, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about their transgressions, and He said, and they disbelieved except a few. And they disbelieved except a few. In many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this few that remained in faith, that remained submitting and surrendering to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we come to the whole story of being in exile, something which the Orthodox rabbinic Judaism accepts, they accept it upon themselves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent them into exile, and they have no right to return to the land of Palestine. They accept it as part of their belief. It's in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ لَيَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومُهُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَسَرِيعُ الْإِقَابَ إِنَّهُ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَقَطَعْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَقَطَّعْنَاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُمَمًا مِنْهُمُ الصَّالِحُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And mention when your Lord declared that He would surely continue to send upon them until the day of resurrection those who He would afflict with the worst torment. Indeed, your Lord is swift in penalty, but indeed He is forgiving and merciful. And we divided them throughout the earth into nations. Of some were righteous, and of them some were righteous, and of them some were otherwise. And we tested them with prosperity and adversity in the hope that they would return. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it very clear that He does not destroy them utterly. Why? Because He's always giving them a chance. Right throughout their history, yes, they transgressed these boundaries. Yes, they disobeyed. Yes, they killed the prophets. But there was always a group that believed. And even the exile of Bani Nadir, Surah Al-Hashr is also known as Surah Bani Nadir, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it speaks about the Jala. He speaks about the exile of Bani Nadir from Medina after they had made a covenant with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to fight the Muslims, and then they broke that covenant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 3, وَلَوْلَا أَن كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْجَلَاءَ لَعَذَّبَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابُ النَّارِ. And if Allah had not decreed exile for them, He verily would have punished them in this world, and theirs in the hereafter is the punishment of the fire. So in other words, He's still giving them a chance. He's still giving them a chance. And so we find groups, and unfortunately, you know, when we get to this whole topic of Zionism, in Zionism, it was formulated as a movement in 1897 by Theodor Herzl, an Austrian-Hungarian. And he was a secular Jew. He wasn't a religious Jew. And the whole idea of Zionism was to create a homeland for the Jews. Because of all their persecution, because of being exiled left and right, being spread out, and I mentioned last week the three main groups, the Sephardic Jews, to be found in the Iberian Peninsula, the Mizrahi Jews, which are the Jews to be found in North Africa and the Middle East, and the Ashkenazi Jews, the ones that come from, first settled on the banks of the Rhine in Germany and in France, and then moved further east to the Polish, Lithuanian community and to Russia. Yes, some people like to argue that the Ashkenazis are not actually Jews. Why? Because there was a group called the Khazars that converted to Judaism in the year 790. But it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, these are the three main groups. I mean, we find in Yemen, the Hamorite Yemenis also converted to Judaism. From the Berbers in North Africa also converted to Judaism. So we find this right throughout history. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what is happening now is that because of the Zionist plot, and what they wanted to do was to create a homeland. In actual fact, they looked at three places: Argentina, Uganda, and then, of course, the ultimate prize, if you are not a religious Jew, would have been Palestine. Because they accept that they're in exile and they're not allowed to go back. I mean, if we look, there's a group in America called the True Torah Jews. The True Torah Jews. They're based in New York, but they claim that they amount to a few hundred thousand. And they say it openly that it is not permitted for them to go back to Palestine. And there's not enough time to go through these verses, but you can Google it. It's called Torah Jews. What verses in the Torah are about the Jewish exile? And they go through all in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, and they show you that the Jews have to accept this as a punishment. But what they do believe is, they believe that they are waiting for the Messiah. That's why they didn't believe in Jesus. We believe that He is the Messiah. Al-Masih. In English, Christ. In Greek, Christos. Isa ibn Maryam. He is Al-Masih. But they denied that He was the Messiah. So they say they're still waiting for the Messiah. And they cannot go back to the land until the Messiah comes. So they are anti-Zionists. And they consider what the Zionists are doing as completely going against the teachings of Orthodox rabbinical Judaism. Now the story of Zionism is that Theodor Herzl, okay, he died in 1904, but Chaim Weizmann, who in conjunction with the Rothschild banking family, and this is not a conspiracy theory, in actual fact, they just recently, they interviewed Baron Rothschild in England recently about Lord Rothschild explains how his family embraced Zionism and created Israel. And in fact, it was his cousin, her name was Dorothy. Dorothy acted as a conduit between the Zionist leader, Chaim Weizmann, and the British political establishment. In particular, Lord Balfour. And there was this correspondence between the Jews in America and the Jews in England that if Britain, remember this is 1917, the Balfour Declaration, the 4th of November or the 2nd of November, sorry, the 2nd of November 1917. The idea was that if Britain grants a homeland for the Jews in Palestine, because the British were controlling Palestine at that time, that the American Jews will help America or encourage or make a way for America to join Britain in the First World War against Germany and its allies. That was the promise that was made. So on the 2nd of November 1917, Lord Balfour, he writes to Lord Rothschild, "I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty's government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation." That is the Balfour Declaration, the 2nd of November, 1917. So it was the Rothschilds that basically sponsored this. They sponsored the Zionist movement and they sponsored mass immigration during the First World War and during and after the Second World War, mass immigration to to the land of Palestine. The Zionist movement, of course, then carried on in Palestine with what? With gangs, with terrorists, like the Stern Gang, the Ergun Gang, the Lehi Gang, and the Hanaga Gang. There were gangs, terrorists. If you go to Wikipedia and you punch in Zionist political violence, and you will see how they attacked their brethren Jews. Jews were assassinated. Those were against Zionism. They attacked even some of the British installations. And of course, we know the fate of the Muslims of Deir Yassin, that village in which hundreds of Muslims, men, women, and children, were put to death by these Zionist gangs. So we have to make the separation. We have to make the distinction between Orthodox rabbinical Judaism and Zionism. Zionism, if we look at what they are doing, and we hold up next to what they have been doing since 1948 and even before, and we hold up the Ten Commandments next to what they are doing, they have broken just about every commandment that they are supposed to live by. And rabbinical Judaism is very strict. They have 613 laws. And Orthodox rabbinical Judaism, they do what they call building a fence around the law. Like on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to work in the fields. In Orthodox rabbinical Judaism, you're not allowed to walk through a field. Lest a piece of wheat should hook on your sandal, and then you would be breaking the Sabbath. 613 laws they have. And they are supposed to follow them to the letter. In fact, for them, practice of the law is more important than belief. But that's also a debatable issue. So again, and inshallah, I promised I wasn't going to go over my time today. Jamaat al-Muslimin, so what happens at the end of time? وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِي. And this is where we have to look at this whole thing from the Quranic perspective. We've looked at the two major exiles, the three promises. The two promises that if they cause mischief and they reach this degree of haughtiness, that Allah will send an army to punish them. And He did it both times. Nebuchadnezzar and Titus. وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدَنَا. And if you come back, and we can take that literally, if you come back to the land of Palestine when you should be in exile, Udana, we'll come back to punishing you again. And how do we believe this thing is going to play out? Because we have all the information in front of us. We have it in the Quran. وَإِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِي. And there's not a single person from the people of the book, Jew or Christian, except that they will believe in him before he dies. Who? Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Just look in Surah An-Nisa, verse 159. It's speaking about Nabi Isa. Not a single one of them except that they will believe in him before he dies, because we believe Isa is coming back. He will break the cross. He will kill the Dajjal at Bab Lut in Palestine. And he will fight the Dajjal and those who are fighting with him, because the Jews will be split. In fact, I found a hadith and the commentary thereof where it is said that, and they will be of those from Ahl Kitab, from the Allahumma salli Muhammad, let me just find this. Here it is, here we go. وَإِذَا خَرَجَ الدَّجَّالِ تَبِعَهُ عَشَرَاتُ أَلَافٍ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ وَاجْتَمَعُوا مَعَهُ يُرِيدُونَ قِتَالِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And if the Dajjal emerges, then tens of thousands of them, of the Jews, will gather with him, wanting to fight the Muslimin. فَيَنْزِلُ الْمَسِيحِ. And then Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam, will descend, alayhi salam. وَيَجْتَمِعُ مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he will gather the Muslimin لِقِتَالِ الدَّجَّالِ وَأَتْبَاعِهِ. And he will gather the Muslimin to fight the Dajjal and those who are following the Dajjal. فَيَدْعُ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ أَلْيَهُودِ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. And Isa will call the Jews to Islam. Jesus, Al-Masih, the Messiah, he will call the Jews to Islam. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ إِلَّا الْإِسْلَامِ. And only Islam will be accepted from anybody at that time. فَيُسْلِمُ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُسْلِمُ. And they will enter into Islam, those who enter into it. وَيَبْقَ مِنْهُمْ مَا يَبْقَ عَلَى يُهُودِيَتِي. And others will remain on their Yahudiyya, on their Judaism. فتكون المعركة التي ذكرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then the battle will ensue between Nabi Isa and the believers, those who have also entered into Islam from the Jews and the Christians, and the Dajjal and those who have followed the Dajjal. So when this is going to take place, Allahu A'lam. But what we do know, Jamaatul Muslimin, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي. Indeed, this earth belongs to Allah. And He will allow to inherit this earth from His servants, that which is pleasing to Him. And the final victory will be for those who are mindful and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the muttaqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the muttaqeen. So, for those that are causing mischief, for those that are continuing to steal people's land, drive them out of their homes, kill innocent men, women and children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised already over 1400 years ago that He is going to deal with them. As for those Jews out there who are anti-Zionist, we must give credit where it is due. There are many intellectuals like Norman Finkelstein, like Noam Chomsky, like Gideon Levy, who writes for the Haaretz, even the editor recently of the Haaretz paper in the Zionist state. He said, I am an anti-Zionist and Zionism equals apartheid. So there are those like the Nature Kata, like the true Torah Jews, although they say we are a minority. And the majority have fallen for the trick of Zionism. But inshallah ta'ala, we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us strong in speaking out against this oppression. Afdalul jihad, kalimat al-haq inda sultanin jair. The best jihad is a word of truth in front of tyrannical rulership. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring an end to this oppression in the land of Palestine. And wherever people, especially our brothers and sisters, are oppressed, or any other nations are being oppressed anywhere in the world, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring an end to that oppression and make us of the muttaqeen and grant us victory over our enemies. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We, Abdul Ghani and Wasila Shabuddin, Ni Joseph, wish to bid salam to all relatives and friends on our departure for Hajj and Umrah, inshaAllah. We humbly request your forgiveness for anything we may have done to hurt or offend you, knowingly or unknowingly. We will make dua for you and we beseech thee to make dua for our health, to perform our holy obligations, our safekeeping, and return to our family and friends. And that Allah grant us a Hajj maqbool, inshaAllah. Ameen. Departure date, 2nd of August, 2018, 4 a.m. for the 6 a.m. flight, 14 Anglesey Street, Rondebosch East. And there's, I'll leave the card with Haji Naeem if somebody wants to contact them, inshallah. And then I also greet you, inshallah. As Allah fakhan, dan is ek mushafi nadi huga baytullah. Actually, musafi, right? But Cape Town, on say mushafi. On say ni askarini, on say asgari. You know? And I ask you for forgiveness, especially those that I have gone over my time and made you late for your work and maybe you got scaled out by your boss or something, you know, I ask you maaf. And inshallah, when I come back, one of the things I will make dua in front of the Kaaba is that Allah help me to finish my talks on time. Ameen. Okay, all right. So inshallah, I will be leaving tomorrow early in the morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the hujjaj hajj mabrura. Make dua for our protection and our safety and our health and our strength to perform all our obligations, and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guard and protect our families and our belongings and keep them safe. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Shukran to you. I take Allah as a witness, anni uhibbukum fillah, that I love you all for the sake of Allah. And I ask that Allah gather us on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that we be of those that He calls out to and says, أَيْنَ الْمُتَّحَابُونَ بِجَلَالِ. We are those who have loved each other for my sake. أَلْيَوْمَ أُظِلُّهُمْ تَحْتَ ظِلِّ. On this day, I will put them in my shade on the day when there is no shade except my shade. May Allah make us of them on that day. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana Zakaria Filand, alhamdulillah, will be filling in for me for the Jumu'ahs and for the Eid Salah bi idhnillahi ta'ala. And I'll be back on the 27th of August, inshallah. Hope to see you all then. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب يا ربي يا ستار العيوب استر عيوبنا يا ربي يا غفار الذنوب اغفر ذنوبنا يا ربي يا مفرج الكروب فرج كروبنا يا ربي يا علام الغيوب قنا شر ما أهمنا وغمنا ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا عليما بخلقك يا خبيرا بخلقك يا لطيفا بخلقك ألتف بنا بما جرت به المقادير إنك على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله لا تظلمن إذا ما كنت مقتدرا فالظلم ترجع عقباه إلى الندم تنام عيناك والمظلوم منتبه يدعو عليك وعين الله لم تنم وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله عظم جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلى عليك الله يا علم الهدى ما هبت النسائم وما ناحت على الأيك الحمائم أما بعد فيا حماة الإسلام وحراس العقيدة إلى أين يا سارة الكرام اسمعوا معي إلى ما قاله مولانا تبارك اسمه في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من قبلهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون وقال تعالى إن الأرض لله يورثها من يشاء من عباده والعاقبة للمتقين فنسأل الله تعالى أن يجعلنا من المتقين وأن لا يجعلنا من المنافقين ولا من الكافرين اللهم اجعلنا من المتقين لأن في نهاية المطاف الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة والظلم لا يبقى قد كما قال تعالى قل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا فستحرر فلسطين وسيحرر مسجد الأقصى بإذن الله الواحد الديان أعود بكم من هناك إلى هنا وما أدراك ما هنا هنا مدرسة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فيها الحبيب المصطفى البر لا يبلى والذنب لا ينسى والديان لا يموت اعمل ما شئت كما تدين تدان ويقول أيضا كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وعظيمنا وحبيبنا محمدا رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فيا أيها المسلمون أوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة أولا بتقوى الله تعالى وطاعته فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن واكثروا عباد الله من الصلاة والسلام على سيدي وحبيبي ونور قلبي محمد طب القلوب ودوائها وعافية الأبدان وشفائها ونور الأبصار وضيائها إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وارضى اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الحسن والحسين وأهل البدر والحنين وعن سائر أهله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن سائر صحابته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي بفضلك كلمتي الحق والدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة خاصة يا رب العالمين. اللهم حرم مسجد الأقصى وبيت المقدس وأرض فلسطين من الصهاينة يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الشام في حلب وحمص ومعارة النعمان. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم وثبت أقدامهم يا رب العالمين. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.